This hour of the Howie Car Show podcast is brought to you by the Howie Car Show store. If you can't get enough of Howie, you can buy Howie's books, t-shirts, and more. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click store.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Car Show.
The Biden campaign was maybe hoping for one of those classic New Hampshire primary surprises. Well, the surprise is for us. I'm heading to South Carolina, as is the former vice president, canceling a plan to celebrate primary night with supporters here in New Hampshire.
Joe Biden is almost on fumes, really. Well, this is a real problem for their campaign. They're beginning to have that feeling of a loser.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Are you concerned about the message that you're sending to New Hampshire by going to South Carolina?
Not at all. We got to win this state in the general election, and I think we're going to be able to do that.
I voted for Amy Klobuchar. I actually went in and Amy, meeny, miny, mowed it.
You're kidding.
No, between two
literally
candidates.
Literally in the booth.
In the booth.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
I think we disproportionately stop whites too much and minorities too little.
Put those cops where the crime is, which means in minority neighborhoods. The best wall to find it. Throw them against the wall and prison.
So there are things we can and should do right away. It can deal with black money, dark money.
I'm always happy to take black money contributions in my campaign.
Unchained and unstoppable.
We have more in this arena and outside of this arena than all of the other candidates, meaning the Democrats, put together and multiplied times five.
We have a bigger crowd here by far just for Donald Trump than we had on Saturday for all of the Democrats.
By the way, does anybody know who won Iowa? Flip a coin. They're going to run your health care. Unbelievable. Nobody knows who won. I think they're trying to take it away from Bernie again. They're doing it to you again, Bernie. They're doing it to you again.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. Today we are simulcasting with America's Most Wanted. And our fugitive of the day is Joseph Biden, age 77, senator, vice president, lawyer, and as of today, fugitive.
He's on the lam.
He's on the lam. Last seen leaving a Dunkin' Donuts in Manchester, New Hampshire today. Apparently, his bus boxed in a woman who was trying to get to work with a cup of coffee, and she was screaming at the top of her lungs, according to Politico, as Joe Biden was making his last-minute farewells to the people of the Granite State who are about to give him the bum's rush out of live free or die land.
Well, and Howie, that's Dunkin' Donuts' catchphrase, isn't it? America flees on Dunkin'.
He has fled. Why would he do that, Grace? I mean, now he's the lead story. It's not just the voters are trekking to the polls in the nation's first primary of the election season. Now it's Vice President Joe Biden has fled the state ahead of his anticipated fourth or maybe even fifth or even sixth place finish tonight.
Maybe he thought if he got his face on some milk cartons, it would boost his public, recognition.
Yeah, I wonder what the first question he's going to be when he does his first campaign stop in the Palmetto State is going to be. Why aren't you in New Hampshire at your victory celebration in Nashua, Mr. Vice President? So that's the kind of the bottom line is the 2020 campaign for president for Joe Biden is a lot like the 2008 campaign for president, which was a lot like the 1988 campaign.
Howie, I found the song that the New Hampshire residents are going to be singing about Joe Biden tonight.
What's that? Let's hear it.
Where are you tonight? Why did you leave me here all alone?
All right. So did you have a good time last night at the rally for the president of Manchester, New Hampshire, Grace?
Howie, I had a wonderful time. If you ever want to send me to a rally, I am there. I felt like a quasi-celebrity because I had my Howie Carr badge on and I was getting recognized a little bit, and that was nice. But I also was kind of starstruck by all the people I was meeting. Don Trump Jr. I didn't meet him, but I saw him from afar. And then, of course, I met all those senators. But it was really awesome. The energy, I mean, people talk about it all the time, Howie. I think when we went last time, I think it was either 2015 or 2016, Howie, when we went in New Hampshire. Was that
2016, yeah.
And Brandon asked me today, he said, what was it like compared to that? And I have to say, it was, you know, it was so much bigger, the energy. Right. There were signs everywhere, Women for Trump. Everyone had MAGA swag. Everyone had, you know.
That was in Milford. There weren't as many people because there wasn't as much room. It was a much smaller venue.
But also, it wasn't a proven thing yet that it was going to work. And now there's all these people who believe it and who have seen it with their own eyes. And there's kids there, and there's teenagers, and there's black people, and there's white people, and there's cowboy hats and scally caps. It's so cool to see all these different people showing up to support the president. And I have to say, you see all these guys, like we just had Lindsey Graham on, and Rand Paul and Kevin McCarthy. They're all lined up in their VIP seats. And I told Howie this last night. I said, these guys have never seen anything like this. So a lot of times when we're at home, we worry about these Republicans. We think, God, I hope they have a backbone. I hope they are not so weak-kneed. And watching them last night at this event, and they're going to all these things with Trump, I find it hard to believe that they're not watching this and saying to themselves, this is unbelievable. We have never had this kind of energy and enthusiasm in our party. Well, we have to keep this going. Well, they would be fools not to.
Trump had all these problems with guys like Rand Paul. He made fun of his hair. Remember that? And with Lindsey Graham, he gave out his cell phone number at a rally. You know, and now they're his buddies. They're his allies.
But even going back to people like Mike Pence, the vice president, I mean, when you look at Mike Pence, he walks out of the tunnel and it's like walking into the Super Bowl. I mean, people are screaming for your name. I mean, I just have to think that Mike Pence, who... Before this, what was the song, Howie? Oh, Indiana's Talking, the Mike Pence Show. This is so, he went from that to being Mick Jagger out there. It's insane. And these guys have never seen it before. And when you're there, you just think to yourself, we got to keep this going. You'd be shooting yourself in the foot if you stood in Trump's way.
Let's play the whole Jonathan Karl cut from ABC News. This is ABC News. Of course, they've been one of the prime suppliers of fake news over the years with George Steffi Stephanopoulos, the ultimate Democrat operative with a press pass. But they had Karl at the rally last night in Manchester, and this wasn't. I don't think this was on any of the network newscasts. Certainly wasn't on the evening news. I don't think it was on Good Morning America either. But it was on their website. So let's just play this cut of him describing it with some. I would say trepidation in his voice about the size of the Trump crowd. Cut 30.
Trump supporters are as fired up as I have ever seen them. I mean, this rally is in an arena that I was at just two nights ago, Saturday night, at an event that included all of the major Democratic candidates for the Democratic nomination. And we have a bigger crowd here by far just for Donald Trump than we had on Saturday for all of the Democrats. Some of these people were waiting out line starting yesterday. And trust me, Manchester, New Hampshire, it is cold, it is rainy. Snow on the ground. They're waiting more than 24 hours, some of them, to come here. So, yes, Trump supporters are very energized. You've got the impeachment acquittal, good news on the economy, and Democrats coming out of Iowa seem to be in disarray. They feel like they're on the winning side. And also, by the way, Trump's approval rating has hit its highest level ever.
Yeah, he does seem a little bit... There's a tone there. There's a tone.
Now I'm going to throw it back to the studio so I can have myself a good cry.
Exactly. All of his inflection goes down. Trump's doing really well. Everybody here is having a lot of fun. There's a lot of lines.
Right. Well, didn't some of the people you were dealing with that work at the arena tell you about how much... how different it was last night as compared to the Democrats' event all of the candidates on Saturday night.
I talked to a security guard, and he didn't want to tell me his name, but he said, this gives me a lot of hope that I'm seeing all these people here. It's so nice. And he said he was at the event with the Democrats, and I said, oh, did they have as many people as this? And I asked genuinely, because I didn't know about about the event. And he laughed and rolled his eyes and he said, what do you think? And he was really nice. But Howie, the other thing I have to say is I talked to some people working the rally and they said to me, Trump does not allow the cameras to turn on before 6:30 because he knows that the mainstream media will take pictures of the half empty auditorium that just hasn't filled up yet because people haven't been let in and post it on their Twitters and say, you know, energy's down, people aren't showing up.
They in fact have done that. That's not a suspicion that they have. That has been done in the past. I think
he
a guy from the
lesson.
Washington Post did that. Yeah.
Right. And so you just get the sense of how dishonest they are from the people working the rallies who have to be so careful about making sure the camera guys stay where they're supposed to be and they stay in the pit and they don't go off and, you know, take pictures of people that they're not supposed to. It was really interesting to see. And I had so many. The thing I have to say is everyone is so courteous. Like, they love to portray Trump supporters as these redneck deplorables who are, you know, wreaking havoc. And everyone is so nice, so courteous to the security and the firemen there on standby. It was just the nicest crowd.
Did you meet any credulous boomer rubes?
I did. I took a lot of pictures with boomer rubes. I was very happy to. I am a big fan of boomer rubes. Some people might say they make up a lot of my base of fans out there. Howie, I got to let people know, though, before we go to break, that Valentine's Day is only 3 days away, and 1-800-Flowers has an amazing offer. Today only, you can get 18 red roses for $29.99 or upgrade to the 24-stem colorful rose medley plus a vase for only $5 more. To order, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code Howie. The vase makes a big difference, guys, so I would definitely go for it because a lot of times, especially if you're on the younger end, people don't have all this stuff lying around and they don't want to find it and cut it up. We got it in the vase sent here, and it was the easiest thing. You literally just open the box, and it's ready to go, and you can plop it on the table. And don't forget to get flowers. Send them to her work. I know from my own experience, I like getting them at work. I like everybody in the studio going, ooh, Grace got flowers. It's fun. So just do it and do it today because you're not going to have a lot of time left.
1-800-Flowers.
Code Howie.
978 says, my friend is a police officer in Manchester. He had to post on his Facebook page that he couldn't get anyone into the rally because people had been pestering him for weeks.
I mean, the lines were just outrageous. And people were just, you know, like that Carl said, they were sitting on the sidewalks waiting with umbrellas. And then when they don't get in, they play it on the screen outside so people can watch from outside. And everybody stays for the whole speech and watches outside. That is the energy. That's the commitment to the MAGA cause. Guys, it's a great day to get on the Trump line. 844-500-4242. Press 2 to get on the Trump line.
Calling all cars, calling all cars. Bolo, Joseph Biden, he's wandered off from the nursing home.
Yeah, exactly, Howie. People should just tell us on the Trump line where Joe Biden could be. Where it used to be, where's
where
Hunter? Now
world?
It's where's Joe?
Where in the world is Joe Biden tonight? Calm. I'm Howie Carr.
A nightmare to liberals everywhere. He's Howie Carr.
This is Jay in Hingham, Massachusetts.
This is Gloria from Haverhill, Mass.
Hi, this is Joe from Howie in the Hills, Florida. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. Limerick guy says, H, it's Tapioca Tuesday at Shady Pines, and plugs ain't going to miss that. 401, get with the times, Howie. It's a silver alert for Joe Biden. I forget. You know, what am I saying, Bolo? You're right. It's a silver alert. Jay from Chelsea, Joe Biden missing? Whomever, don't pay the ransom, please. Ah, it's so unkind. The headline on Breitbart right now is Electile Dysfunction, Biden pulls out early from New Hampshire. Skipping on Victory Party.
I'm characterized as the old guy.
Isn't he the third oldest after Bernie and Bloomberg? He's only the third oldest, but he's going to finish fifth tonight, perhaps.
He's younger than Mike Bloomberg.
Yeah. You didn't know that? Yeah.
Wow.
They're all right there, you know, and within a year of each other. But I think it's 78, 78, 77. And then
that's
the
one race that Joe Biden is winning when it comes to who looks who acts the oldest. He is winning that race without a doubt.
Yeah. All those facelifts didn't really pay off for him, you know, when you can't really speak in complete sentences anymore. Valentine's is 3 days away, and 1-800-Flowers has an amazing offer. Today only, you can get 18 roses for $29.99 or upgrade to the 24-stem colorful rose medley plus a vase. That's what Grace was just talking about, for only $5 more. To order, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click on the radio icon, and enter code Howie. It's the perfect gift, guys, for Valentine's Day. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will Joe Biden finish in fifth place tonight?
I think he will, yes.
86% think so.
Howie, I really want to read you this story before I have to go. I know you were talking about Mike Bloomberg. Obviously, the audio of him talking about stop and frisk that came out today is, you know, really damaging for his campaign. And you know, a lot of people think this is going to be really bad for him, but I have good news for Mike Bloomberg.
What's that?
This is amazing news. It turns out that Michael Douglas is saying that his dad, Kirk Douglas, backed Mike Bloomberg for president before he died.
That's easy to say now, right? It's like when Bob Woodward wrote the book about the CIA, and he said that Bill Casey had confessed everything on his deathbed. Those deathbed confessions, you need a witness.
I mean, even
to make
still,
it stand up in court, don't you?
Aren't the Douglases in California? Kirk is still probably going to cast a vote.
But that's a pretty, how do I say this, without disparaging Kirk, who, you know, is a beloved figure on this show, that's a pretty lame deathbed type of deal. Like, come here, I got one last thing to say to you. Bloomberg, yeah. 2020. Like, really? So but, even though he's had a really bad day in some senses, kind of a good day in other senses. Even though Kirk has passed, at least he knows that in spirit, he wanted Mike Bloomberg to win. You don't need Beyonce and Jay-Z. Kirk Douglas.
Yeah, Joe Biden thought he was going to get the coveted Kirk Douglas endorsement. But again, he's not quite as old as Mike Bloomberg.
That's what set him over the edge. That's why he ran away. He saw the headline. Are you kidding me? Etu Kirk. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I got other news to tell you. Hollywood soap boxing drags Oscars to all-time low ratings. This is from Page Six. The biggest flop of the award show season, the award show itself. So they did not have a host. I think that's what helped the Golden Globes a little bit, was that they had Ricky Gervais, and he was a really good host.
Yeah.
This was the 92nd installment of the Oscars, and they did not have a host. They had
I thought Chris Rock made some jokes. Was he just like a sort of a guest host for one segment or something?
Yeah, him and Steve Martin got up towards the end and just did a little, you know, little roast of people, but not a real host. And people got up, and, you know, Brad Pitt said, I only have 45 seconds. That's 45 more seconds than John Bolton got to testify. You know, the same kind of stuff.
Not only were they down like 25%, but in the prime demo, 18 to 49, they were down 31%. 31% year to year. That's really bad.
Do you or a loved one have trouble hearing over the telephone, or need to turn up the TV volume so loud that others complain, or find it hard to follow conversations at the dinner table or in a restaurant? Let's face it, hearing problems can be embarrassing. That's why Hearing Help Express takes away the anguish and embarrassment of hearing loss. Better Hearing has never been so convenient and affordable, with simple to use, hard to see, and easy to afford hearing aids and professional care delivered right to your own home. And the best part? Hearing Help Express cuts out the middleman, saving you over 50% and an inconvenient trip to an audiologist's office. Right now, Hearing Help Express is offering a free, no-obligation hearing loss information kit that includes a hearing assessment with special offers and discounts. I love their information kit and have taken the assessment myself. It's fast, easy, and informative. Call Hearing Help Express today at 800-353-5200. Call 800-353-5200. That's 800-353-5200. Use promo code Howie.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. A good day to get on the chump line. That's the number to call, 844-500-4242. Just press 2 and leave your message. Where do you think Joe Biden is? He's on the lam. He's taking it on the lam, as they say. He's fled New Hampshire. 617 says, Jubenville is collecting signatures at the West Roxbury Roach Brothers. Do we like him? Jubenville is the governor's council. He's my governor's counselor, too. It's a weird district. Runs all over the place. But, yeah, I would give Jubenville a signature. He votes the right way sometimes. That's the most you can ask of the governor's council. It's a hawk shop, as Governor Curley used to say. Joining us now on the news line is Sean Duffy. He was with us briefly yesterday. And he's a former congressman from Wisconsin, and he quit. He has some family problems of some sick child, and he resigned to take care of his familial obligations. And Sean, I really salute you for that, and I think all of us do. It's very seldom you see that in politics today.
I appreciate that, Howie, and thanks for having me back on. Yeah, I have a little daughter who was just born about 4 months ago. She has a heart condition. We need open heart surgery. And if we don't put our families first, we don't get anything right. So I don't regret my decision, but thank you for mentioning that.
Well, let me ask you this. I asked this of Lindsey Graham last hour, the senator from South Carolina. What does a surrogate for Donald Trump do on primary day in New Hampshire?
Yeah, I guess so. I've been at polling places, diners, coffee shops out there, you know, pushing the president. So obviously we all know the president's going to win the primary today. He doesn't really have a challenger. However, this is about enthusiasm. Donald Trump was very close to New Hampshire in 2016. We think he can win here in November of 2020. And it's about ginning up the crowd, getting people excited. And it was remarkable. If you added up all the liberals that are out there for Bernie Sanders and Amy Klobuchar and Mayor Pete, add them all together, we had more Trump supporters at the rally than all of them combined. It's remarkable the support that the president has when he doesn't really have a contested primary.
You know, we have a huge audience in New Hampshire. We're on multiple stations for the afternoon drive. A lot of people still haven't voted, and I'm getting texts from people saying, if in New Hampshire today, if you're an independent, you can take the Democrat ballot and vote Democrat. And some people are saying, not many, but a few people are saying they took the ballot and they voted for Bernie just to, you know, run their own personal Operation Chaos, as Rush used to describe the 2008 campaign, to keep Hillary in the fight. Why should independents take a Republican ballot? Why should they take a Republican ballot to vote for Trump when we all know how that one's going to turn out? Why shouldn't they just cause chaos by voting for Bernie or somebody else?
Well, I think it's important to send a message in New Hampshire that we can win and we will win. And if you look at what it means to the Trump campaign, he was here last night, as you and I both know. I was at the rally when I spoke to you. But that he has surrogates, that Lindsey Graham is here, Mark Meadows is here, Matt Gaetz is here, I'm here. We're all here because we want people to be excited about President Trump and to get the vote out for the president. They wouldn't spend the money if they wanted Operation Chaos. They wouldn't put us all here if they wanted Republicans and independents to go vote for Democrats. We want to show a force. We want to show that this is a state that's going to go for President Trump, and that's why the surrogates are out hitting it so hard.
Yeah, somebody just sent me. They announced in their town or city that the votes at 4 o'clock Eastern, and it was 4,900 votes, and 2,100 of them were Republican, which seems like an awful lot to me, considering there's basically no race on the GOP side. You know, so I think President Trump's going to get a lot of votes here.
I do too. I mean, it's amazing as we were out there rallying people and, you know, having fun as folks were coming in to vote. The number of Trump supporters was amazing as they were coming in. And you've probably heard this as well, Howie. I think this is a race between, you know, Pete Buttigieg and Bernie Sanders right now.
Right.
They have a lot of energy. Elizabeth Warren, obviously a neighboring state, but she has nothing going on in New Hampshire, really. I mean, she's almost like Joe Biden, a no-show. And I think we're going to be surprised.
Really? Because they've been saying – Yeah. Sean, they've been saying that she has a good organization to get out the vote. I mean, you know, she's been sending out these vibes. Well, it's a long haul, and you know, we've already got staff in Michigan. You know, that's a way of saying I'm going to lose badly here tonight. But I mean, you're not seeing anybody holding Elizabeth Warren signs.
No. Oh, yes. Unless I was in, you know, the holes that she has in New Hampshire. New Hampshire's not that big. She had nothing out there. There was nothing out there. I didn't see signs. I didn't see people. She was as prevalent as Joe Biden, you know, and you just mentioned he has a jailbreak out of New Hampshire, and he's going to South Carolina because he's going to get crushed here. And by the way, that speaks volumes about Elizabeth Warren's campaign. I mean, this is her neighboring, you know, state. That she wouldn't play hard here if she could, she would. And her message just isn't resonating. She's losing steam. I think she's going to be out in the next, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, out of the race.
Really? You don't think she's going to make it to Super Tuesday?
I don't. She might slide into Super Tuesday, but she's going to lose all steam. I think she's not. She's bad performance today. She won't do well in South Carolina, and she's going to be done, just like Joe Biden. And it's going to be Mayor Pete. It's going to be Biden. It's going to be Bloomberg, but Bloomberg's having a really bad day today as well with his, you know, racist comments. And then I think Amy sticks around because she, instead of losing money, I think she's going to continue to gain some steam because the bar was set so low for her. As long as she gets over it, which I think she will here in New Hampshire, she's going to still have supporters out there who are going to help fund her campaign to go to future states.
You were in Congress for a number of years. I mean, what do you think of the strategy to have the impeachment trial to keep the, and you know, everybody's saying that this was the DNC strategy to keep the other senators or in the trial in stuck in Washington so Joe could have Iowa to themselves. I mean, to him himself. Do you think that was their game plan? And if it was, I mean, how badly did it backfire on them?
I don't believe that for a second. I think that this was the AOC wing of the party who was ginned up by their base to impeach Donald Trump. And I believe, and listen, I'm not a fan of Nancy Pelosi, but Nancy Pelosi understood the politics of impeachment. She knew that it was a bad deal for Democrats. She was forced into it. And, you know, they ran this timeline trying to get as much out of the House vote in the Senate with witnesses. Nancy Pelosi thought that she could put pressure on Mitch McConnell to get the kind of rules that she demanded out of the House in the Senate, which never happened. I was in the House for 8.5 years, Howie. The Senate always beats the House. I hate to say it. It bugs the heck out of me. But they always beat us. And then she thought that she could force rules on Mitch McConnell. Impossible. So I think they fumbled that ball. There was no strategy behind it at all. And I think a lot of Democrats, though they like Joe, he has a soft place in their heart. They know that he doesn't have the razzle dazzle. He doesn't have the energy. He's not a sparkling candidate. They all saw that in him in the debates. And I don't think they're willing to bet their horse on his candidacy.
You know, I was never in Congress, and neither were almost all of our listeners and viewers. And we all knew that Mitch McConnell wasn't going to blink. I mean, she's been there for 100 years.
Sure.
What was she thinking of?
Well, I think she took some bad advice. I thought that she believed that there'd be enough political pressure. And by the way, they tried. I mean, all the liberal networks, all the liberal newspapers, which means all the networks and all the newspapers, were trying to put pressure on him. But what's unique is, you know, Mitch has a body of 100, and he's able to call his shots and call his ball, and he knows how to run the Senate better than anybody else. But she thought she could put the pressure on him, and it just didn't work. And now what they've done is, I mean, this is the connection I think that we have here. Republicans are angry. They're mad. And that's when you just mentioned the numbers of how well Republicans are coming out in some of these precincts. It's because they're here for Trump because Trump has been here for them. And they're so mad about impeachment, they want to come out and support him. And that's why you don't go vote for Democrats. That's why you don't grab the Democrat ballot. That's why Operation Chaos doesn't work. This is a hand gesture towards liberals who tried to impeach our president, who's done so great for this country. Go vote for him. Go show your support. Don't vote for Democrats.
603, I just got another text. Just drove by a polling site in Lebanon. all Bernie people holding signs, no other candidates or supporters. Wow.
That's it. Can I tell you one thing? I was at a polling place, and it was just Trump supporters, and Mayor Pete and Bernie Sanders signs were all laying down in the grass. They'd all packed up and gone home, and we were wondering, you know, they must have been paid only for a couple hours of work. So they put their signs away and went home, and the Trumpers were there volunteering, excited, and it was only us. The others are going home. Okay, going home, wrapped it up.
The firefighters have been with Bernie all weekend. You've seen them. You know, they got the yellow signs. Yeah. Firefighters for Biden, I should say. And how would you like to be a firefighter? You know, you're in the union. You're trying to move up, and they tell you, you know, Joe, you got to go down to Lebanon and hold a sign for Biden after you get off at 4 o'clock till the polls close at 7 or 8. And you're driving and you're listening on the radio. Joe Biden fled to South Carolina. You think you're going to go there, Sean? I mean, you've been in many campaigns. I mean, how does that energize people to go out and vote, let alone hold signs? You know,
here's what happens: they take off that firefighter shirt and they put on their "Make America Great Again" hat and shirt, and they go do it for Trump. They go where their heart is at. I, at the rally, what was great last night? We had all these police officers that were there with, you know, cops for Trump. All over in the background. And I was at the polling place today. I was, you know, kind of yelling out to the cops, you know, make New Hampshire great again and MAGA. You know, they can't show any political bias, but they were smiling as I was, you know, giving them a little push to support the president because he supports them. I mean, as you have the left going after, you know, law enforcement and firefighters, Donald Trump is standing up for them, fighting for them. I mean, that they're getting water thrown on them, they're getting shot. And liberals say nothing, and Donald Trump is like, unacceptable. We're not going to tolerate that in America. Yeah. They love him for that.
And Elizabeth Warren says the justice system is racist front to back right after two cops get shot down in cold blood in her home state of Massachusetts. I mean, yeah, she's not getting any police support. Here's one last thing before we go, one last text. We live in Derry, New Hampshire, and there were tons of Trump signs at our polling place. The amazing thing was there were no signs for any other candidates. None. Not one other candidate. So where is all the Democrat enthusiasm that we were told was going to overwhelm Trump? Doesn't seem to be out for the second week in a row. Last week in Iowa, this week in New Hampshire.
Yeah, and I think that's what's going to shock the Democrats. That's a great point, Howie. You're going to see Democrats go, we underperformed in Iowa, we're going to underperform in New Hampshire. This does not look good for beating Donald Trump in 2020. I mean, I think those are telltale signs. And in the same token, you're going to see a historic number for an incumbent president with a show up at the polls with voters coming to support them when they don't have a race. That's what I think the story is going to be coming out of New Hampshire.
Yeah, I think so. Sean Duffy, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, former congressman from Wisconsin, and we'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure. Thank you. I'm Howie Carr.
He's suave, he's debonair, he's Howie Carr.
Hi, my name is Jane Lucas, and I am from the town of South China, Maine.
This is Al from Merrimack, New Hampshire.
Hey, I'm Angela from Brewster on the Cape, and this is the one and the only Howie Carr Show.
There's an art to going on the lam. I learned this. I wrote a book with Johnny Matarano, the hitman from Boston, who spent 16 years on the lam. The trick is you go on the lam before you are indicted, because you don't want to be picked up, because then you have to make bail and you forfeit the bail, whatever it is, $50,000, $100,000. And if you leave before you're indicted, then the people who harbor you as a fugitive, you can say, they didn't know I was a fugitive. I didn't know I was indicted. Neither did my girlfriend or my brother or whoever. And it's not believable, but they can't prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. So nobody gets in a jam, or not that much of a jam anyway. That's the way I was taught, you know. And you go on the lam because you you can cut a deal later on, and you get the least sentence of all the other people in the conspiracy. So apparently today Joe Biden was asked by a reporter from my newspaper, the Boston Herald, why are you leaving early? I'm not leaving early. Why are you so negative? We're going to try to get some sound or get the reporter on later. But Joe apparently, you know, he has some kind of, despite, you know, not having as much upstairs as he used to. Oh, we have the sound. Here's the sound.
Joe, why'd you decide to leave early?
I'm not leaving early.
Why'd you skip the party tonight?
He's here. I'm going down to South Carolina, and I'm going to be talking to everybody up here in my field. Yeah. And why are you so negative?
Why are you so negative? I'm not leaving early. That party is going to go on without me. It's a victory party. It's at the Radisson. I'm going to Bill Weld and Deval Patrick and Michael Bennett, the senator from Colorado. They're going to share the room with me. We're all going to have a victory party together. All of us losers.
And Howie, I guess one of the voters up there told Hillary Chabot from the Herald, she said she switched her vote from Biden to Warren because he just seems like he's lost it. And then after that interaction, she was quoted as saying, "What a baby." Can't even ask him a flat-out question. Why are you so negative? Why are you guys making fun of me?
I'm going to visit my friend Julio Castro and that woman from Alaska. And then we're gonna go out to the target range with one of those guns that has 50 clips in it. Denny, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Denny.
Yeah, hi, Howie. I was hoping that after the impeachment trial, the Senate would spring into action with holding hearings trying to get to the bottom of who was behind the coup and who did what, or the attempted coup.
Well,
so far, Lindsey Graham has at least said he's going to hold hearings.
I know. We had him on about an hour ago, Denny, on the radio portion of the show, and he said the same thing, that he's going to start hearings in 2 weeks. And I was trying to say, well, you know, what are you going to do if they, you know, say that this is the subject of a court case? You know, now it's going to be a civil case, like Strzok is, you know, suing the government to get his job back. You know, what are you going to do then? Or what are you going to do if Comey gets another burst of amnesia and doesn't remember something 240 times? And he didn't really give me a satisfactory answer, Denny. He talks a good game, but I'm not really confident that he's going to get it done. Are you?
I'm not. Seeing's believing, and I'm really nervous that none of the other committee chairmen have made any commitments to hold hearings. I guess several different committees have different responsibilities, so I'm really nervous about that.
Yeah, and, you know, I mentioned, too, this woman, Jessie Liu, the former U.S. attorney for Washington. She's getting a new job in the Treasury Department, and she was going to get the number three job in justice, but they decided that that wasn't going to work because she's been basically, I hate to say it, brooming these cases. And I hope somebody at her hearing on Thursday in front of the banking committee, because they have oversight over Treasury, I hope somebody's going to ask her about some of these cases that she's broomed. Although I'm sure, once again, she's going to pull the same swerve that Comey and Strzok and the rest of them have pulled. But, you know, at least try to hold their feet to the fire here, Denny. I'm with you. Thanks for the call. Dan, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, Howie. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to thank you and validate the point that you had made earlier in your show about how President Trump had lost New Hampshire because of
the students. The students voting. Yeah. I think there were a lot of students voting again today, I'm told. It's kind of, you know, we don't really care that much today, but not, they can't be allowed to vote in November if they're voting somewhere else. Thanks, Dan. I'm Howie.
This hour of the Howie Carr Show podcast is brought to you in part by the Dirty Rats podcast. Everyone is raving about Dirty Rats. Available wherever you get your podcasts, as well as on DirtyRatsPodcast.com. Binge Dirty Rats today.